Welcome to episode 44, Industrial Roundup. My name is Tim Nagel, the Manager of Workplace Relations here at VHIA. In terms of bargaining, the AMA bargaining continues, with VHIA meeting with representatives of the AMA twice per week. It should be noted that the AMA will be holding a members meeting on Tuesday the 21st of November to update their members on the progress of negotiations. In the interim, VHIA continues to meet with their members on a weekly basis. The next agreement is the General Dentists Agreement, where we're meeting with Professionals Australia every 2 weeks to progress the discussions. We are dealing with both community health and also public sector during these negotiations. The next group is the dental therapists. We are meeting with the CPSU every 2 weeks and concurrently doing both the public sector and also the community health. All updates for both the general dentist and also the dental therapist will be placed on our app. The next group is the community health, health and allied and medical scientist bargaining. Where we're up to in this is that we have released a consultation document to both the unions and also members in order to try and narrow the gap between them. We are meeting with members and also the union over the next 2 weeks to progress discussions. In terms of community health professionals, this is more advanced than the medical scientist and the health and allied services group. We are currently at the stage where we're meeting back with the health professionals to get their feedback from the draft consultation document. In terms of mental health, the community health employers have responded to the employers' log, the union's log of claim, and we're progressing discussions. The health and allied services, the nurses and midwives and the health professionals continue to be implemented across the state, with the SDPPWGs being established to progress some of the obligations under the agreement. Now, the final thing today is just to note the mystery box quiz, which the link is below this video. There's a sensational prize, golden gnome across each of the divisions, so get involved. Thank you. Welcome to the weekly update, where we go in depth with the particular subject. Today, I'm joined by Workplace Relations Consultant, Emma Scott. Welcome, Emma.
Thanks, Tim.
Emma, as you know, we like to do the mystery box first thing. Could you open up the mystery box, which will give us a clue to what today's topic is?
Can.
And for those at home or on podcast, can you describe what's in the mystery box?
That is a Parmigiana and chips.
So based on this clue, what would you say today's topic is?
I think we're going to find the answer to the age-old question of why did the chicken cross the road?
Close. Very close, but not correct. No, today's subject is service delivery Palmer and Chips plan.
Palmer and Chips plan.
Or otherwise known as service delivery partnership plans.
So does that stand for SDPP?
Yes, it does.
So what is the SDPP?
So it starts with the government's current wage policy in relation to enterprise agreements. So the policy says that the first 2.5% per annum will be assured to those parties to the agreement, but they have an opportunity to for higher wage increases. So the first 0.5 above the 2.5 is the service delivery partnership plan. So it's reliant on people entering into such a plan.
So people can get outcomes in excess of the 2.5, that's what you're saying?
Yeah, they can. So the initial service delivery partnership plan is that from 2.5 to 3%, mm-hmm. but that doesn't preclude people from getting above 3%. We've seen that sometimes in our EBAs.
So does the government policy talk about how the SDPP works or how it's meant to be brought about?
It does. And what it talks about is that there should be some engagement between unions and those negotiating the agreements. And it should be a partnership approach.
So what is the partnership approach?
So a partnership approach is fundamentally based on the existence of shared goals between the parties. The goals of the employers and the employees within the SDPPWG are shared, and that is to increase productivity over the life of the agreement.
So not eating Palmers together?
Not eating Palmers is one of those things, yes.
What sort of service delivery improvements are contemplated?
So the policy has a range of items that could be the SDPP could be based on. So, for instance, performance improvements is one. Workforce-related organisational changes is another. And the final one that's listed is employee-related improvements.
So the list that you've just identified, is that exhaustive?
Not necessarily, but they're very broad categories. So it's likely that any of the productivity increases or improvements will fall into one of those categories.
So what of the current agreements have SDPPs in them?
So all the agreements that have been negotiated have an SDPP within them. So the Nurses and Midwives Agreement, for instance, the Mental Health Agreement, the Health Professionals Agreement, and also the Health and Allied Services Managers and Administrative Officers have an SDPP. Mm-hmm. Those that are currently in the process of being negotiated also will have an SDPP in them as well. So the medical scientists, medical specialists, doctors in training, maintenance workers, general dentists, and also the dental therapists will have an SDPP.
Mm-hmm. So you've talked about the SDPP in terms of policy. What about in reality? How does it actually work?
So what the clause requires the payers to do is to establish a SDPPWG within the first 6 months of the agreement beginning to operate. So the SDPPWG is a Service Delivery Partnership Plan working group.
Mm-hmm. So who forms the working party that you're talking about and what's its role?
So the group is comprises of nominated representatives from the union, VHIA, and also DHHS as required. Often individual members, our members, will also attend. The purpose of the SDPPWG is to discuss, implement and monitor progress towards achieving the initiatives outlined in the clause. This, however, operates differently depending on what the actual item is. So it's not a one-size-fits-all. The actual role of the SDPPWG will depend upon the item that's being discussed at the time. So with the exception of the nurse manager structure, the outcomes of the SDPPWG are not necessarily binding on health service. And I think that's an important point, mm-hmm. is that whilst there is a focus within this group to establishing productivities, efficiencies, etc., all health services roles or situations are different. So what will work for one health service may not work for another health service. So therefore, it's not compulsory to adopt anything that's discussed or put up to the SDPPWG.
Mm-hmm. So you talked about them being inserted in a number of the agreements. Are they actually common?
Not entirely. There are common elements, though. Mm-hmm. So this includes the following common elements. The payers are committed to contributing to the improvement of the productivity and efficiency of the Victorian public health system, sector by, and there's a couple of things that are common across the agreements. They are firstly improving patient treatment times through flow improvements and discharge practices, mm-hmm. Improving patient safety through increased immunisation and vaccination rates, improving occupational health and safety interventions, reducing agency use, and there's a couple of slight variations across the agreement to that theme. Collaboration between the payers to reduce the environmental impact of health services. Reducing disputation through joint education programs for managers. Modernising the agreement through the implementation of common clauses, and finally jointly working to enable the Victorian health system to excel in meeting its accreditation standards.
So in terms of the first one, in improving the patient treatment times, what are some of the developments that have occurred in that area?
Yes, so the department and individual members are doing some great work in terms of flow management and increasing productivity in this area. Mm-hmm. So the important thing to note is the SDPP is not designed to interfere with any of that work that's currently going on. Mm-hmm. So that work should definitely continue. At the moment, we're just working out how we could contribute to those successes and share those successes between members. So there's a bit of ongoing discussion about how that might occur. Mm-hmm.
So what about the safety of patients through increasing immunisation rates?
Yeah, so I think that the immunisation rates across Victoria are pretty good at the moment, but there's always more that can be done. So we've had discussions with the unions about some joint awareness campaigning and information sheets, etc. We know that in the public health system that there's some experts in this area, so it may be about leveraging their expertise to reach a wider audience potentially.
Yep. And the next one you mentioned was the occupational health and safety.
Yeah, so I mean this is an important one for all our members, particularly around occupational violence and aggression. So there's been a particular focus at the SDPPWG about what can be done to facilitate developments in this area. I know that the unions are particularly interested in this, and a range of them have released some material about this. So Look, it's a key focus for the OH&S group.
And what about the reduction of agency use?
Yeah, there's not a lot has happened with this. We know that across the sector that the majority of health services are very clearly focused on trying to reduce agency usage through casual employment or part-timers, etc. So really we're looking for opportunities at this stage to make a contribution in that area, but there's nothing that's been clearly identified at the moment.
And the fifth item is about the collaboration for environmental initiatives and reducing impact.
Yeah, so I think it's fair to say that a lot of health services have done some great work in this area, from really simple things to really complex things. So at the moment what we've asked our members is to try and collect those ideas and share them. So we're looking for platforms to do that at the moment.
Mm-hmm. And what about the modernisation through the common clauses in the agreements?
Yeah, one of the key frustrations, I think, for individual practitioners in health services is the range of clauses, each with their own nuances and subtleties. So we thought, and our reference group thought, that a key productivity measure was to have those common clauses, so that if a practitioner is working with a particular situation, they don't need to go back to the EBA, check what the nuances are, and then implement. They can do it a little bit more clearer. And having a common clause also enables education to occur as well, because you don't need to recreate things for different disciplines. You can use the common approach.
So there are still little differences, but we're pretty close to having common clauses.
Yeah, there are some slight nuances between the clauses, but we're a lot closer than we were.
Mm-hmm. So what about reducing disputation through joint education programs for managers?
Yeah, so I think this is one area that we can do a lot of work in. Certainly with the unions are keen for some education that we provided. And look, some health services don't need it. They've got some well-developed programs internally that deal with this sort of thing. But there are other health services that could benefit from the development of some educational material. So what we've discussed, particularly in the nurses and the midwives SDPP, is about the development of modules to deal with different topics. Then health services would have the option of either using those modules or not, depending on their exact circumstances.
Mm-hmm. So the last one is also about jointly working to enable the health system to excel in meeting the national safety and quality health services standards.
Yes.
As well.
So this was, I mean, the thought behind this was that is that often health services need to develop their material. Mm-hmm. One individual, an employee, will go through a particular training session, then go to another employer and do a different training session. So whether there was an opportunity to develop some common educational materials across health services. Mm-hmm. So we have also talked to the department just about that idea and worked out how that could be done. I mean, obviously the accreditation standards or frameworks changing at the moment, so we'll need to work out how that works, but the idea is to try and create a common set of educational tools.
Mm-hmm. So what we've just gone through is the common elements of the SDPPs. What about those that are unique?
Yeah, so the Health and Allied Services and Managers and Administrative Officers agreements and also the health professional agreements don't particularly have anything different. But there are differences in the Nurses and Midwives Agreement and also the Mental Health Agreement.
Mm-hmm.
So the Nurses and Midwives Agreement has additional items which are recognising the role of advanced practice and other evolving roles through the creation of a joint statewide classification committee. The SDPPWG will also examine the contemporary role of the NUM to develop a three-level classification structure. And there's a couple of key items that it needs to have regard to. So firstly, the complexity of the roles, level of autonomy, access to health services infrastructure and support, responsibility and governance obligations. The final one that's different in the nurses and midwives from the other agreements is the SDPP will examine the current nursing structure within standalone community health centres.
So in terms of the nurses, what is the evolving role around advanced practice and evolving roles through the statewide classification committee?
Yeah, so there's a clause that deals with the statewide classification committee, so that's not created through the SDPP.
Mm-hmm.
But this is about using that process to further explore advanced practice. And lots of members are doing that already, and some have more advanced frameworks than others. Mm-hmm. But this really develops a mechanism where advanced practice is the focus.
Mm-hmm. So what's involved in that process?
Predominantly, it's about developing frameworks that are used consistently across the sector,
mm-hmm.
And then using the statewide classification committee to establish that consistency.
Okay.
So I think there's I know that we've talked about statewide classification committees before, but this is really to overcome that discrepancy in classifications across the sector where they're not specifically addressed in the agreement, and as opposed to trying to spend the whole bargaining time creating the classification structure, it will develop organically over time, and we're having a lot of input into that from the experts within the field as well.
That makes sense. What about the evaluating the contemporary role of the NUM?
Yeah, so this is one of those items that by 2019, I think it is that the classification structure is collapsed into one and then goes into three branches. So this is a process that will be, the outcome of that will be, will create obligations on our members,
mm-hmm.
and this is the only one within the group. So it is an important one. We'll be spending a lot of time next year talking with members to develop that structure and have their input into the structure,
mm-hmm.
But it is captured under the SDPP.
So what about the nurses' structure in community health?
Yeah, so during the negotiations and the bargaining process, this was a real important item for our members.
Mm-hmm.
So it's part of the SDPP. So we're planning on starting that process probably in February next year, where we can have a look at the classification structure.
So does that apply to public community health centres as well as standalone community health centres?
It will, because they're both pays to the agreement, so it will apply across the board.
Mm-hmm.
I think the focus is on standalone, but of course, the integrated community health centres will be applicable to, I guess, as well as a flow-on.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So we just talked about the nurses. What about the mental health agreement?
So the mental health agreement does also have some unique items. So these are, and there's three of those. The first one is supporting the implementation of the VIMS 2 to improve productivity and efficiency in the completion of forms. The second one is collaborating with government to implement the 10-year mental health plan. And the final one is reducing the volume and duplication of organisational, clinical, legal and reporting documentation.
So what is the VIMS 2 and how is that implementation actually occurring?
Yeah, so there's a lot of feedback that the VIMS reporting is quite clunky and time consuming. So the VIMS 2 is really about addressing that as far as practicable. So there'll need to be some things around the implementation of that.
And what about the mental health 10-year plan and collaborating with the government for that?
Yeah, so I mean the this is also part of it. We've got to recognise that the mental health agreement is probably about 6 months behind the nurses agreement in terms of the implementation. So the SDPPWG for mental health has just started to really get up and running.
Mm-hmm.
So how it supports the 10-year plan and also the implementation of the VIMS 2 is sort of presently being discussed.
So what about the last one with reducing the volume and duplication of organisational, clinical, legal and reporting documentation?
Yeah, I mean, this was discussed during the bargaining round. And again, it's one of those things that's really difficult to do in those bargaining rounds.
Mm-hmm.
So it was thought that if we pushed into the SDPP, that way it's not compulsory. It's not doesn't create an obligation on employees. On employers and our members, but if good things do come out of it, then employers or our members have got a chance to adopt those.
So it sounds like there's a lot of activities going on with the SDPP. Can our members get involved in that, or how do they do that?
Yeah, they can. There's lots of opportunities to get involved. So so on our app, for instance, we've started a group called SDPP,
mm-hmm.
where members can join and share ideas that they've got or see other people's ideas, or things that they've done to increase productivity, so that sort of sharing arrangement. Also, SDPP items are regularly included within the reference groups,
mm-hmm.
and discussed there, and that informs what we say at the SDPP WGs. So there's an opportunity to get engaged through there. And also, I mean, there's nothing stopping people who wanted to attend the SDPP if they really wanted to. They could do that as well. So thank you for joining me, Emma, today.
Thanks for having me.